You only have to worry about one verse for today. One verse. 2 Samuel 6:16. Did you hear it? The ark of the Lord came into the city of David, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out into the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. What's another title of Michal? Anybody know? Queen of Israel? How about David's wife? Did you hear? Every time we brought up Michal, it wasn't wife of David, Queen Michal, but daughter of Saul. Not David's wife. And there's a story there. But first, let's talk about my mother. You know, it's great to be a visiting minister. I come tell family stories. My family's not here. That's cool. I what I say goes, right? All right. So, my mom, I went to visit my mom over July 4th. That seems to be a tradition with me. And we're down there. I was coming to see her. For over 40 years, there's been a celebration on July 4th on my block. When I was a wee lad 40 years ago, I went around and got the petition to shut down the street, close off the street for a block party. And we had games and competition, a dramatic reading of the Declaration of Independence. And we had a parade of decorated bicycles and wagons and things and parade. And I was in that parade. 40 years later, and my mom and dad were movers and shakers in that. And 40 years later now, I'm all grown up, but my mom still goes to that parade. She doesn't do as much as she used to. I mean, she's in the ripe ages of 70 up toward the 80, and she's on continuous oxygen. She gets tired just thinking about getting up. And she's got a scooter and that she scoots around with, but even that this year, she was saying, and she was in the parade last year, and she won, and she felt so bad because there was little kids with wagons that were crying, and she had a trophy. She goes, I really wanted to be in a non-competitive category. And she said, I don't think I can be in the parade, and she was so sad. She said, 40 years, and she goes, I can't be in the parade. I can't take it. I don't think I can get around the block, even in the scooter. I'm afraid I'll run out of block, or I'd have to rest. And my son, he's not an overachiever. No one would accuse him of that. And I can tell you, and I'll tell you, maybe some other time I'll tell you stories about my son. But I want to tell you about my son. I wish I had half his, I don't know what his empathy, I guess it is. That man can figure out the perfect thing you need. What you need, he'll know. You may not know, but my son Robert will know, and he'll tell you. He is perfect in that way. Lady, he is available. I mean, still, anyway. Good catch. And so, my mom, and I didn't know what to say, and it's to his grandma. He says, Grandma, that parade, everybody goes. The kids and the parents and grandparents, and nobody watches it. Everybody's parading. It's not really a parade unless someone watches. They really don't need another float. What they need is spectators. And my mom just lit up. She's so happy. Well, I could do that. And she got all dressed up, got her red, white, and blue stockings out that she breaks out every July 4th, sat out in front of the yard and go, whoop, 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 waved the flag and waved at all the kids, had a great time. And then my wife, I was under assignment to take lots of pictures, so I was running around taking pictures. My wife got her to move down to the end of the block where she could get them on the way back. So she was spectator times two. She had a great time. And my son said something that inspired the sermon today. He said, the guy gives what you need. Thanks, Robert. He says, it's not so much a parade as it is a march. It's not so much a parade as it is a march, because everybody goes. No one watches. And I got to thinking about that. And I'm thinking, wow, that applies to so many things. The difference between a parade and a march is whether everybody's march moving or everybody's watching. I think we got a whole lot of parade Christians, spectators. You know, they don't like to do Christianity, but they like to watch. Oh, I don't really do that. I'm not into that, but I like to watch it. You know. Is there any kids here? They all left. Oh, okay. Yeah. So the parade and march. And you look at Nikau, who is a tragic figure and a very important figure in the Bible. And I'll tell you why. She's very special. She's the only person in the Bible that has this. That's coming up. Stay tuned. Nikau and David. Now, is it a march or a parade bringing the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem? Well, let's take a look. 30,000 men. Now, does that mean just the men went out? I don't know. They had a really bad habit of just counting men in the Bible, even in the New Testament. Even if there was a couple thousand women with them, oh, they don't count. Oh, you know, they were like that. Sorry. So I'm thinking there might have been a huge horde of people. So it was pretty much a march, and there was dancing and singing. But there was at least one spectator. So look where Nikau was. And you only get a couple words in the Bible to talk about Nikau, and the Bible writers say, looking out her window, Nikau was not in the parade. She was not in the march. She was a spectator judging the display. That's one of the things about a parade, isn't it? Difference between a parade and a march. March, everybody's there. Everybody's going. Everybody's going. Doom-da-doom-da-doom. Parade, there's all sorts of people. There's floats. There's people walking. And then there's judges. Aren't there judges in a parade? Yeah, I've been a parade judge. There's a reviewing stand of dignitaries, you know. There's traffic cops standing around. You know, the more I hear about a parade, the more I'm thinking about church. Sounds more and more like church to me. What's another difference about a parade? Parade is all about spectacle and about look at me, look at me. Isn't that the idea of the parade? It's the greatest spectacle, the wonder if we'll float, and look at me and show me all about these things. But a march is not about showiness, not about individuality, not about standing out, not about best than everybody else, not about, in fact, most marches, everybody's trying to look the same. It's like they have uniforms or something. And usually you see marching people, they're all dee-dee-doo, all over here, we're all looking alike, don't look at us, we're on the way here, we're all marching. A march is about us. Not about who's the best one of us, but all of us moving. A parade and a march. There's a difference in a parade and a march in that, have you ever noticed that a parade goes in a circle? Have you ever been in a parade that went anywhere? Parades just go around in a circle. The best parades. Now, sometimes parades go one end of town, the other, and strange you down there. And then you have this, like, strange... Have you ever been in a Nevada Day parade? There's this strange reverse parade. Have you seen this? That the parade's here in front of you, but the parade from, like, an hour ago is going behind you. Yeah, we're walking back to our car. Yeah, I got to go this way. You know, I just saw those guys there. Yeah, parades go nowhere. Marches go somewhere. Marches have a destination. We're marching to Zion. We're marching to this place. We're on a forced march to this place. It has a destination. It is definitely not inner circle. Marches go somewhere. Do I have to point out a church thing? Are you going somewhere? Are you praying or are you marching? And here's something that's kind of subtle, but as soon as you think about it, parades, a few people put in a whole lot of time. Have you seen those things in Nevada Day? Some of those things they build up? I'm thinking, you probably are going to start tomorrow or next year, you know, to get done in time. All the stuff you did and the floats and the buildings and the things that you got going here. I go, well, you put a lot of time into that. And then other people watch. Not much they're required of parade watchers, of spectators. You just pretty much have to stand there. If you get there early, get a chair, sit, you know. That's all you got to do. And you don't have to stay for the whole thing. You can leave early. No one makes faces at you like they do in church. You know, but at marches, there's no, everybody's in. Everybody's all in. Everybody's carrying something. Everybody's working. Everybody's walking. It's not like a couple people work really hard and the rest of us say, oh, good job. It's everybody is involved in a march. The very words prayed, and I did not know this until I started working on this, but the very words prayed and march, prayed, the root of parade is to stand. I would never know that. It is to stand and show. Movement is not in the word parade. Now, march, strangely enough, comes to us from the word that also gives us trample. Trample. It's the same root goes back in there. So when I think of that, when I hear about march, I'm thinking about he is what? What do you hear trample? What do you hear? Oh, come on.
Grapes of wrath.
He has trampled out the vineyard where the grapes of wrath are stored. The great image from Revelation. So marching and trampling is very much in the Bible. It's something that Christians do. Marching, trampling out the vineyards. It's a destination. It's a duty. It's something to do. So how can you be it? I'm working on a little thing, so I got to keep looking here. I'm trying to actually have a structure and list things because God bless you. My wife's one of these. She's not here, so I can talk about her, and she knows this happened, so it's her fault. But, you know, if you, you know, there's some people, and we need them. We need them bad. I need these people. They make lists. Anybody? List people. You don't have to, you know, you can, I see you pointing. Yeah, people make lists and do things. I don't do that. But I try every now and then to visit that land. It's a strange land. I usually need a guide to tell me where things are. And no, you want bullet points, not numbers. Okay. But anyhow, so I'm making a list. Here's my list. This is for you list people. I'm trying to speak a different language here. It's almost like Greek or Hebrew. But here we are. List. How can you be a marcher instead of a parader? Well, Christy, what can we do about this? Why, how do we not be like Michal and get out and dance with David? Now, Michal, I want to say some good things about Michal. I'm not down on her. I'm a big fan of Michal, you know, and she does have a point. You know, we don't know exactly what a linen ephod is. If you want to get some people wound up, you know, say this is what it is. Oh, everybody start yelling at you. But pretty much, they sort of move around. It's an apron. So we're thinking he was just wearing just an apron. And you know that scripture, that one verse I said, 16, it definitely made point to say not just dancing, which is plenty. I don't need anything else. Dancing's fine. I don't know. It made a point to say leaping and dancing as if, do I have to draw you a picture of what was happening out there? You know, there was leaping involved. Okay. All right. He had ephod. We told you that. The leaping. Okay. Enough said. This is a family Bible. You know, so Michal, you know, I think had grounds to be a little mad at the husband. I'm pretty expert on that, too, grounds for being mad at the husband. Oh, but the list. Yeah, I told you I'm horrible at lists. Here we go. List. All right. So the list. How can we be a marcher instead of a parader? One. Join in. Simple. Join in. Don't be a spectator. Don't watch out the window, being like in the reviewing stand, judging the floats that go by in the Christian parade. Get out there and join in. When you see trouble, when you see opportunity, get out there and dance, whatever you can do, get out there and do that. How can you do that? There's all sorts of opportunities. I mean, I kind of think that a church exists so that people can join into the Christian march. Basically, that's what we're about. It doesn't save us. It doesn't get us attendance points in heaven. It doesn't check us off community service in the heavenly kingdom. what it is for us to join in the march, to find some mission, some way that we can be together to do great things that we could probably not do alone. So join in the march. Now, you say, oh, I'm not really a church person. I just actually wandered in here. I thought it was an office supply shop. You know, it's in the plaza. And then I was too embarrassed and the coffee. So if you're not in that, you can do some nonprofit things too. You can get up and do God's work in nonprofits. You can maybe even do it in profits, but nonprofits usually have a mission, a march, and they're usually looking for someone. And a lot of them are church affiliated. You can probably hear about them in church here. I do Computer Core in Carson City, and they're kind of churchy. They take community service people and people trying to kick drugs and give them a chance. You know, we're going to give you a chance. Now, a lot of them steal from us, so we got to fire them in sadness, but they keep trying. They keep trying to give them. They keep trying to give them a chance. There's some people that never had a job in their life because they're not the smartest person in the class. And they come to the Computer Core, and we give them a job. Now, we got one guy who sweeps the floors, and he does a really good job, and we really encourage him, you know, and he's doing better. And some people go from there and go, and actually, they can get a job because they know how to show up. They know how to punch in and out of a time clock. They know how to be responsible. They know how to do that. And I think that's God's work. They're run by volunteers. You can find a nonprofit to join in. But that's the key. Join in. Don't watch. Join the march. Don't be the watcher. Next on the list, have a destination. Find somewhere to go. Don't go around and around and around and around in circles. Okay, I didn't say committee meetings, but I know you're thinking it. Okay, I know about that. Don't go around and around and around in circles. Don't let your only church service be committee meetings. God knows we need those. Administration's one of the spiritual gifts. Hallelujah, I'm testifying. But don't go around and around in circles. Have a destination. What are we here for? What are we doing? What in God's name are we doing, for heaven's sake? That should be a question every day. What in God's name are you doing, for heaven's sake? If you can answer that question, we want to be here then. We want to be there. We want to make sure that these people, we want to make an outreach to the high school. I don't know what you're doing, but have somewhere to go. Otherwise, you're just praying in a circle, showing people things. He's saying, we're on our way here. This is where we're going. Have a destination. Oh. Habitat for Humanity. Anybody heard of Habitat for Humanity? I heard the founder speak at General Assembly of Presbyterian Church. Very moving, very challenging. He put our feet to the fire because he started reading off, you know, the Methodists have built 1,024 houses. Actually, the Presbyterians are at 800. Oh, boy, people are looking around at that one. But he had a spirit inspirational speech. One of the things I think is so good, they have a destination. They have a place they're going. They're marching forward. You know what they say about Habitat for Humanity? They say this about this. This is what they're doing. This is where they're going. No more shacks. That's where they're going. Where are you going? We're going to a world where no one lives in a shack. That's what we're doing. How are you doing? I can measure my march. I know how close I am by how many people are still do not have decent, affordable housing. No more shacks. Have a destination. List people, another one. Three, for those, I should do numbers. Three, not three. Always we, not me. It's not about who's the best. It's not about who's got the flashiest clothes. You know what? I don't know if I told you this. I didn't tell you. But I work at Best Buy at Geek Squad, and everybody there, including like my boss and my boss's boss, are my age of my kids, and I try to behave. Lord knows I try, but sometimes my boss says, this here is about humble and integrity, and I graded you the highest on there. I think you're very humble. I go, oh no, I'm not humble at all. He didn't get it. Yeah. He started arguing with me. Oh, no, I think you're really humble. And I go, no, I'm not humble. And to this day. If you do not care who gets the credit, there's no limit to what you can do. I mean, the Reagans both have said that, Lincoln, Truman. The first one we found is 1922. A guy with an impossible-to-pronounce name, Montagu. Charles Edwards says, there's no limit to what one can do as long as one does not care a straw who gets the credit for it. So it's always we, not me, if you're marching. If it's me, you're on parade. You're up there saying, look at me, aren't I the best? Four, I remember the number. Four. Here's the thing. Put in the time. Remember, this is the one where, you know, you just watch and not much commitment or work needs to be required if you're just watching the parade. And in March, you got to get a pack on. You got to get ready with your boots. You got to train. You got to move. You got to put out the time. And you're there for the whole time, commit time. Put, and here's the difficult part, you know, and people get mad about this sometimes, but I want you to consider this. Pay for your own faith. Don't make other people pay. Right? Don't say, I have this deeply held, passionate, important, core belief, and I want you to do it for me. Do we have a lot of that? Oh, I get fired up about that. I'm still fired up about, whoo, boy, that was several years, I don't know, back in the day. A friend of mine was in the Lutheran Church, the ELCA, you know, the ones that talk to us, those guys, and he had a bit of land, and he was going to build a church on it. Woo, ah, good, all right. He was going to build a church. He was raising his money, and, you know, build a church, raise the money. We're in the high school, you know. And he comes to, we had a weekly meeting of ministers, and we did a lot of things. About a whole other sermon. He goes, hey, we got a great opportunity. Looks like somebody wants to buy our land that we have, and they're going to pay us four times what we paid for it. They're going to pay us four times what we pay for it. Stewardship drive's done. We're ready. We can build it. We got other land that we got our eye on. We're going to buy it and put it up. And then, you know, we're all dancing around. Hallelujah. God is great. God is great. Woo, woo, hey, hey. Stewardship drive done. Like that. One check. Oh, yes, Lord. Walmart wanted to buy it in a small town in Ohio. That minister got death threats. Threatening him and his family if he sold to Walmart. I was livid. Still mad. It's been 10 years. 15. I was livid. And they were talking about his Christianity and talking about his Christianity. And I said, hey guys, okay. I understand your passion. I understand your arguments. You don't like Walmart. Fine. Well then, you all take up an offering. And you all buy that land from him and match Walmart's price. Is it important to you? Well, then, pay up. Don't you dare tell those Christians they have to pay for your beliefs. It's not the way we roll here. It's not the way Christians roll. Take up your cross. It doesn't say give your cross to someone else to take up. Difference between a parade and a marcher pays for their own faith. A marcher puts on the boots and spends the time and puts on the pack and does the walk and doesn't say, oh, yeah, very good, you all do that for me. They didn't come up with the money, but they shut up. Well, at least to me, they didn't say anything. You know, that's the way it works. That was four, right? Who's keeping track? Anybody? I should have assigned someone. Okay. Thanks. Five. I think we're at five, four. You want more? The dinner's burning. I mean, we're gonna get those other people are going to get to the restaurant. Five. I think I already talked about this some about, and that's probably the list I move out there. Show, you know, the difference between being stopped, prayed, rest. You know, when you're watching a parade, you're not moving. And marching, you're doing nothing but move. So check yourself. There's been a study that men, now women, thank you women, they keep learning and growing in faith all their lives. But the last study I saw saying, us men, we kind of stop right about Sunday school, fifth grade somewhere, and then we just cruise. You all go to that class. I gotta stay home. You know what I love about, you know, I love the grads and dads in June, but one of the things I love about it is to take a look at whether it's graduation or commencement. There is no graduation in the church. There are commencements that when you start something, You're going to start another version, another chapter, another leg of your journey, of your spiritual journey. It's never graduation. It's always commencement. So if you want to be in the march, instead of being outside standing in the parade, be that way. I'm going to add another one, too. You know, don't be judgy. You know, Mikal up there, it's hard not to be judgy if you're watching the parade. And it's almost impossible to be judgy if you're in it. People say, well, how'd the sermon go today? I go, I don't know. I wasn't listening. I just gave it. I don't know. I had a good time. I don't know. You can't be judgy if you're doing it. If you're watching, you can hardly help but doing it. That's a bonus one right there. So always, one of the things I pray regularly is let me have an attitude of gratitude and not grievance. Being grateful instead of being complaining. And if you're working on something, you're less likely to complain than you are that if you're watching something. And if you're working on something, you're probably going to be more like you want it. And if you're just watching it, that's almost random that it's going to come out right. Okay, now if you're like me, you're going, oh, that's a lot to remember. He had an extra one there, and then he backed up, and I didn't take notes, and I hope there's not a quiz. Did you ever see those bulletins where they have, you know, sermon notes? That's a lot of pressure for me and you. So what if you're like me and you're saying, you know, the list are fine, you know, but can we have something else? And I got something else. Remember I told you something else is coming. You know, for all this story and the strangeness here, Mikal, David, and a window. This isn't the first time that Mikal, David, and a window is in the Bible. Who would have thought? 2 Samuel, we see Mikal, David, and a window, but we also see it in that 1 Samuel that I talked about. 1 Samuel 19, verses 11 and 12. A very different scene, a very different outcome. Because you see the one thing that the Bible says about Mikal, that it says about no other woman in the Bible. You can go through the whole Bible, and the Bible never says this about a woman. And it's very important. This is the only time, and it's with Mikal only. Only Mikal in the Bible does it say that a woman loved a man. Mikal loved David. Remember that old patriarchal kind of man-centered thing I talked about earlier? Maybe that's a little bit about that. You know, that a woman's love wasn't that important back then. It was property values and dynasties. And poor Mikal was married to David twice. She was passed around as a political pawn in treaties and power things. But there was a time in 1 Samuel where the Bible, even the Bible, takes notice. And Mikal loved David. She wasn't always up in that window despising him. The last time they were at a window, I wonder if she was thinking of that time. And she looked out that window alone at her husband, the king. That last time was before he was king, when her father was king, when she was the prize and the plum and the desired of all, when she was powerful. She and David were together as husband and wife because Mikal loved David. And Saul had enough of David. He was way too good. And Saul sent people to kill him. Go. And when he leaves, Mikal's in the morning, kill him. Mikal knew this and warned David at the risk of her position and, yes, even her life. Said to David, saying, if you do not leave right now, you will be dead in the morning. and going against her father and her family and maybe even her country, if you look at it. She warned the one she loved to go and lured him down out of the window to safety. And she didn't stop there either. Not just warning David, not just letting him out the window to his safety. She made a dummy on the bed and put goat's hair there and told his fathers, the assassins waiting outside in the morning, oh, he's sick in bed. He's not coming out. He's sick in bed. And when they finally got wise to that and came up and they said, well, look, he's still there. And finally they went in and found what she had done. She lied for him. She lied to her father and said, what was I to do? He was going to kill me. Michal loved David. The last time they were at a window together, she sacrificed everything. He even sacrificed, she would not see David for years. She will not see David till after she was given in marriage to another man. She will not see David until her father is dead. She might have known that bad times were coming, and she let David go away from her, not to be with her. How can you be like that Michal and not the Michal that despised that same man? Love. If you don't make a list and you don't do the steps 1, 2, 3 kind of thing, here's all you got to remember. If you find yourself looking out the window and something you don't like, look out there with love. And may the Bible say about you, if the Bible ever writes about you, may it be said about you, that person loved others. That person worked to save others. That person did all good for the good of those that he loved, that she loved. And isn't that the Christian march? Isn't that our destination? Isn't that what we're all about? Love? Try to look out those windows on love. And if you love enough, you're going to climb out the window and get involved and help people live their lives and save their lives. Love one another as Michal loved David and as Christ loves you. Amen.